Hello, my creepy, spooky party people. It's Martini Martinez, back with another episode of Mischief Life for you. This is the second half of our spooky season, our inaugural spooky season, which, you know, for 2020 to be the inaugural anything is not abnormal, so let's keep it going. When I asked you guys if you wanted to hear some more haunted attraction stories or if you wanted some paranormal realness, you guys voted for the paranormal realness. So that's what we're doing because I like to listen to you because you mean ever so much to me. Now, most of the time, the best place to start in a story would be the beginning. So today I'm going to be telling you the absolute first paranormal experience that I've ever had. And it's not really anything crazy, but it did start, the wildfire that is the research that I've done into the paranormal. So we're starting at the age of 7. If you are longtime listeners or know me in real life, you know that I am older than 7 now. And what really kind of weirds me out the most about this is that my daughter is 8. So this happened to me when I was younger than her, which just boggles my mind for some reason. I guess it's just the getting old situation. I don't know. I don't really want to talk about it. I have another birthday coming. It's a really complicated situation in my brain right now. So, submitted for the approval of the Mischief Society, I call this the beginning of the obsession. So, at this point in time, I'm 7 years old, as I said. So that's first grade. I had just met this girl who I thought was going to be my best friend forever. Boy, was I wrong about that one. That's a whole other situation that we can get into for another day. But this girl and I were inseparable. We used to have slumber parties at each other's houses, and we would cry when it was time for the other one to go home. And I know at one point I stayed over her house for a week. It was supposed to be one day. My parents just kept bringing me more clothes because I just kept not wanting to go home because we were having a good time. So that was my, at the time, bestie. Y'all know who my bestie is now. Pop quiz. Who's my bestie? Madison's me. I'm at her house, and I think this might have actually been the first time that I was over her house, and the only people home were her and her mother. And we were in her room, we were playing. I don't know what we were playing because it was eons ago. And she had gone out into the kitchen to get some cookies because, you know, we needed sustenance. And while she was gone, I was, in her room. And the important part of this story is her house, from her bedroom with the door open, there's a direct sight line into the kitchen where the cookies are. So I can see her. And her mom is in the front yard doing gardening or weeding or something. I mean, knowing her mom, it literally could have been anything. Again, whole different story for a whole different time. But I knew where everybody was. So I'm sitting in her room. I see her go to the kitchen. She goes to the counter. And I hear a man say my name. Now, baby bestie is not a man. And her mother is not a man. And neither of them sound like a man. So they're both out. The other kicker for this one is that my name, spoiler alert, Martini Martinez is not my legal name. Half of it will be soon, but not my legal name. So my actual birth name is very hard to pronounce. My fiance does not say my name right. When you get to 158 years old like me, you kind of just don't care. And you just let people say whatever's closest, like whatever doesn't cause an aneurysm. Cool. I know that you meant me. But what got me is that this person pronounced my name correctly, which I'm not used to hearing. And when that does happen, I do get real overexcited about it because it's not the usual for me. So I got really excited and I was like, who said my name right? And then I realized the real question is who the fuck is talking to me? Because there's no man on the property. So I freeze up and she comes back into her room with cookies and is like, what's wrong? And I said, some man just said my name. And she was like, oh, and just kind of sat on her bed. And I remember being like, why are you not completely and totally freaked out by this? Because some man, there's no man in your house, but some man just said my name. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? Yeah. Like, what? Oh, hey, there might be a man in your house that you don't know. Yeah. And I was like, did your dad come home? And I didn't notice. And she was like, no. And the whole time she does not seem surprised by this at all. So it's freaking me out more because I was like, well, then what is happening? What is the issue? What's going on? She told me that ever since she was a baby, she would remember a man talking to her in her bedroom. And I was like, whatever, you're pulling my leg. This is nonsense. I don't know what the 7-year-old version of this is nonsense is, because when I was 7, I certainly wasn't saying nonsense. But I'm old now. I'm going to keep harping on that. Anyway. So I told her that, you know, I don't believe you. She went and she got her mom because I was starting to freak out a little bit. And her mom sat with me, an adult to a 7-year-old, you know, an adult came and told me that when my former bestie was a baby, she fell out of her crib, but she didn't hit the floor. Now, I hope that you guys all have the same train of thought as me that, you know, gravity. If she fell out, then the floor is there, so she should have touched it. Basically, Bessie's mom was in the kitchen. Again, direct sight line into the bedroom. So the bedroom door was open and the crib was right where she could see it. And the side of the crib was down. Don't ask me why. That seems real irresponsible, but okay. And the baby, Bestie, rolled out of the crib. And her mom said that she got really scared, obviously, and was like gonna like run to go scoop her off of the floor because that's where she would go. But on like en route for the scoopage, the baby, being my bestie, stopped in midair and was just kind of like booped back into the crib. And she insists that this happened. No one else was home. So I'm like, all right, that's weird. But we move on with our day. I go home. And I'm like, who said my name, though? Like, that doesn't explain anything about anything. Because somebody said my name and pronounced it correctly. So somebody that knows me or what? So I talked to her on the phone because our parents used to let us talk on the phone. So I was talking to her one night and I said, how could he know how to say my name? Like, if this is ghosty from your bedroom, how does he know how to pronounce my name? And she said, she was like, well, I would guess that the only people that he's heard say your name are me and my parents and your parents and you. All those people pronounce my name correctly. So, I mean, that makes sense. But there's still the whole idea of the disembodied voice and potentially a dead man talking to me. So I took a little while to mull that over and then proceeded to bombard my parents with questions about ghosts and death, which, I mean, I would have to ask them. This is really strange. I've actually never asked them about this, but I'm sure that when your 7-year-old is like, what happens when people die? Like, that's probably really freaky. That was the first instance. And since then, I was hooked. I am a very curious person. Any of my ex-boyfriends will let you know that I'm a very curious person. I need to know what's going on. I need to know why it's happening. I need to know who's involved. I need to know where. Like, you just send me a formal invite to whatever the hell you're doing. I might not go, but I just want to know about it. I'm a nosy motherfucker. So I needed to figure this out. And I don't know if y'all can tell, but there's still some debate on the paranormal. So clearly, I haven't figured it out yet. But I have not stopped trying since I was 7. So, I mean, it's over 2 decades of research. And that's where it all started. I mean, the next one that I can remember, I think I was in middle school and I was doing my homework and I was thinking about the ghosties because I certainly wasn't thinking about my homework. Again, you can ask my dad about that. At no point in time while doing homework was I ever actually doing homework. I was thinking about apparently hauntings and any other thing that I could possibly think of except for homework, especially if it was math. Oh, if it was math, I was not doing math. Oh, no. I was doing like virtual laps on roller coasters in my head. Like, no. So I'm sitting there thinking about the ghosties and I feel like someone is watching me in my bedroom. So I was thinking, if someone's watching me, who would it be? This, just so you're aware, is a misguided train of thought, but I'm going to explain it to you so that you know why I did what I did. But this is an incorrect way of thinking. I thought whoever is watching me must be someone who knew me. So, who knew me in life that has passed on? And at that point, it was just my grandparents on my mother's side. And they had passed when I was in kindergarten. So, it was a really long time. So, I turned my little wheelie chair around and I said, Nana, if that's you, can you please turn off my computer monitor so that I know that it's you? Little bit of explaining about the computer, because again, I forgot how old I am. Some of you might need this. I don't know. So back then, this is like the cell phone all over again. Back then, the monitors were like huge. They were like deep and all of them were quote unquote white. Really, it turned to like dirt gray in 2 days. But my monitors had also come from, I don't know where. My dad had so many computer situations. I had 2 monitors when most people didn't know that you could have two monitors. So we were a little bit advanced in my house, but the monitors themselves were still like big, bulky. Ugh. The monitors themselves were still big, bulky, old monitors. So in the bottom right-hand corner, there was a button. And when you push the button in, like if you used your thumb, it went in like deep, probably up to the first knuckle on your thumb. And then, you know, when you release the button, the monitor would turn off. That might have been an unneeded, long-winded explanation, but it's there if you do need it. If you need the visual, it's there. I saw the button go in. I am not pushing the button. Nothing is pushing the button. I just see the button depress and release and the monitor turns off, which is exactly what I asked for. Now, being the super sophisticated paranormal investigator that I am today, the reaction would have been like, oh, bomb, cool, thank you. However, middle school me was like, oh, fuck this. And I, again, probably scared the crap out of my mother. But I got up. I didn't say shit. I got up, ran out of my house, grabbed my bike, and went straight to my friend's house. I think that I might have yelled, I'm leaving, before I left. But I'm not even sure that I did that. I just peaced the fuck out. I just left. For, you know, what I thought was my grandmother turning off my computer monitor. As you can see, I mean, these stories in the beginning are very, like, tiny little things. But I lost my mind. Ran out of my house like a crazy person. So here is where things start to get a little sticky. Basically, former bestie and I would talk on the phone all the time. And we thought, I say we, I can't speak for her side of this situation. I was under the impression that we both believed that the paranormal experiences that we were having were connected. I'm not going to tell any of the stories that she told me because, I mean, I don't know if they're true. And again, like I said, if you want to hear what's going on with me and this former bestie, let me know. I'd be happy to do a whole episode on why you need to, you know, be careful who you trust and who you're best friends with, because this was a bad situation and was heartbreaking for me. And I mean, other people have had the same experience, and I know other people have had the same experience with the same person, and heartbreaking for all of us. Anyway, I can only tell the situation from my side. So what I was experiencing was I was seeing a shadow figure. I would say probably around, like, this is like a big range, but between like 5'10 and like 6'2 of a man. And it would be at a friend's party or just in my living room or outside of my house. I would just see this man. He never got close. I never heard him. And when I saw him, as long as I didn't look away, he stayed there. If I ever turned around and when I went to look back, like I'd say 70% of the time he wasn't there anymore. Sometimes he would still be where he was, but most of the time he was gone. So I was seeing this man semi-regularly. I mean, I would say at least once a month I saw him. And for years, I saw this man. But the scariest one, yeah, I think this is the scariest one. I was at my friend, I don't want to say her name because she's not my friend anymore. As you can see, I did a lot of weeding before I moved across country. Let's call this girl Shayna. I was at Shayna's house. I think that it was her graduation party. It could have been a birthday party. That part kind of isn't important in the story. And Shayna lived off of, she was on like, it was a mountain. We were in Pennsylvania at the time. And her house was up on a, we called it a hill. But now that I live in flat ass Florida, I'm pretty sure it was a mountain. And her backyard was pretty much just like a mountainside. There was probably like 20 feet of actual yard. And after that, it was just rocks to a cliff. And then the creek was all the way at the bottom. And it was like far down. Like if you fell off that, you were at the very least going to the ER, and you were probably not going there conscious or in an ambulance. You were probably getting like choppered to the ER. So we were always very careful in Shayna's yard. So we decided that we wanted to play manhunt. I don't know what it was with me and my friend, but we played manhunt for like everything. I don't know if that's like everybody at that age, but we played manhunt for everything. Like even if we were just like all together at night, manhunt automatically. I had been convinced that my friend, ooh, I need another name. My friend, Jonah. Jonah was really good at manhunt. And I was like, I'm going to focus all of my energy on finding Jonah. And I thought that he was behind a bush in Shayna's front yard. And that bush was in front of her dining room window. And I thought, if I can go in the house and get into the dining room and look out the window, I can just see if Jonah's dumbass is right in front of the window. And I was like, good plan. So I go in the house and my friend Jane follows me. You could just hear when I'm making up names. So Jane and I go inside. We're standing in the dining room. We move the curtains to the window and Jonah is not there, but the shadow man is. About four houses down, he's leaning on the mailbox. And I have this sense that he was watching me. It's a shadow figure. I can't see, like, there's no features. So I can't see where he's looking. I can't see if he's looking at me. I can't even see if he's facing me. Like, there's no way to tell. It's just a black shape, like a silhouette. And he's there. And Jane sees me just tense up. And is like, what's wrong? And I said, please tell me you see him. So she's looking and she was like, what am I supposed to be looking for? And I said, about four houses down, leaning on the mailbox, there is a shadow man there. The reason that I was so open about this with Jane is Jane had told me that she had been experiencing things in her house too. And she said, no, I don't see it. So now I'm like, great. What is wrong with me? And, you know, she kind of tells me, you know, shake it off. You've seen him before. You know, it's not a big deal. He's not even here. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He's way down there. This is not the first time I've seen him. And I'm not going to let him ruin my fun. I'm not going to let him ruin Shayna's party. So we keep looking. And we see somebody run into the backyard. And there's like a couple of trees where the yard kind of meets like the rocks and everything. And we see them run in there. So Jane is like, I don't know if we should go in there because Jane is smart. I, on the other hand, am like, I'm going to fucking win manhunt. So I go in there and Shayna is in there too. Shayna saw whoever ran in there as well. So we're looking and we don't see anybody. Shayna's also really mad because we said that nobody can go past the trees in the backyard because it's dangerous. Someone could fall and get hurt. So she's kind of pissed. And I'm just like, I just want to win. So we're in the yard. We're trying to find somebody. And Shayna slips and starts to fall down the rocks. So I grab her. Like, I think I ended up grabbing like her like forearm, but I grabbed her and she like regained her footing and it was fine. So she started to walk back up and I was like, yeah, I think that we should all go back. So I started to yell, if you're out here, we give up. You're not supposed to be back here. We're going in the house. And I have this tree next to me and I wish I could remember, but I can't. There are initials carved into the tree. And I remember thinking that that was really weird and feeling something push my back. And I started to slide down the same rock that Shayna was sliding down. But my footing was fine. Something pushed me, but no one else was there. So later on, I tell Shayna, like, hey, I almost fell after you fell. That was super scary. And she was like, yeah. And I said, you know, the tree in your yard, whose initials are carved into it? The reason I asked that is because her whole family, all of them had the same initials. They all had a first name that started with an S and their last name started with an S. So it was weird to see initials that weren't SS carved into something. And she was like, I don't know. So I told her, I was like, I mean, have you seen initials carved into the trees in your backyard? She's like, no, I've never seen that. I'll go out later. They're gone. So unless I'm just imagining initials carved into a tree and imagining someone pushing me off the side of a mountain, I don't know. And also the correlation of seeing the shadow man before that happened. It was just a lot. Like I said, I saw him a bunch of times, but that was by far the scariest, just because there is the possibility in my mind that, you know, he pushed me, because I wouldn't have seen him. It's in like this wooded area at night, not even my own house, and the only other person that knew that I saw him was Jane, and she didn't see him at all. So that was a rough one. That was a really rough one, actually. Because wanting to be honest and be real with my friends, and I put friends in quotes because most of them are not my friends now, but wanting to be real and honest, and when something's clearly bothering me, I like to tell people what's wrong. I like to honestly be like, hey, here's what's up. Here's why I'm acting weird. So I told people this story, and because it's like middle school, early high school, it's seen as like trying to get attention or just making things up, just lying, or like it's all in your head. And nobody wants that. It's one of the reasons that people don't talk about it. So why did I keep talking about it then? That's the next logical answer is, if you wanted friends, why did you keep talking about all this dumb shit? Because to me, it wasn't dumb shit. I was scared and I didn't like that feeling. And knowing that so many other people felt that way, because the statistics are there. Most of America, at least, and a lot of other cultures that I don't know enough about to speak on, believe in spirits in the afterlife and ghosts, but are so scared to talk about it. And I was like, I know that I'm just one stupid middle schooler, but it's one more person talking about it. And that's why I got into paranormal investigation and why I still do what I do. And I still talk about it all the time because people need to talk about it. There are dangerous things going on in people's houses. People are getting physically harmed. And whether you believe that it's paranormal or not, something needs to change because people cannot be living that way. It's not mentally, physically, or emotionally healthy to do that to yourselves. So, I mean, that's a little premise of why I do what I do. It's hard because it's not science, but it's not fiction, and it's all still being figured out, and there is no centralized public research point. You know, it's hard. And for this stuff to happen to people and for them to have nowhere to turn is not okay. So, I mean, I, as Martini Martinez, but also just like as myself, try my best to make myself available for people who are just like, holy shit, I asked my dead grandmother to turn off my monitor and she did. What the fuck? Or, you know, my 7-year-old's coming and asking me about ghosts because she heard some man at her friend's house. I want to be there. I want to be that person to help. And whether that help is just, hey, you're sleeping with your head in an electromagnetic field pretty often, so you're going to have weird ass dreams. That's still help. That's an explanation. That's something. I'm here for something. That got like, I got kind of deep when I wasn't ready for it to be kind of deep. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, those are the first stories. After that, we hit, you know, high school and after high school. And that's when we get up to going to Eastern State Penitentiary, going out to haunted locations, and me and another friend of mine starting our own paranormal group, which didn't last nearly as long as I wanted it to. But while it did last, it was great. And this isn't an official announcement, but I do want to start another one. The reason it's not an official announcement is because there's a lot to figure out. Number one right now being when Miss Corona is gonna leave, because I'm telling you, I'm not going anywhere while she's hanging around, because I ain't getting that. No, thank you. But yeah. So here's what I would like from you guys. You let me know what you want. Also, my inbox is always open for any of your paranormal concerns. If you have stories that you want to tell, if you have heard a story and you want to know if it's plausible, please send me an email. The email address is, let me make sure that I get it right. The email address is mischieflife@outlook.com. You can always go to the Facebook page for Mischief Life as well and send us a message there or leave a comment. I check it all the time. Both of those go straight to my phone. If you need me, I am here. So, I think that I'm going to leave you guys with a story that happened to me a couple of years ago. Because the reason I'm picking this one, this specific story, is because it's a hard one for me. So I'm working at one of the car dealerships I worked at. I am in sales at this point. And there is a technician at service that we all used to hang out with. And he was this sweet young kid. He loved to race, constantly working on his car. He's a tech. What do you want? And just like a sweetheart. And he used to hang out at sales all the time. And the techs would be like, are you selling cars or are you fixing them? Because he was always hanging out with us. And he became really good friends with everybody in the showroom. So I had my birthday and I had just gotten my first tattoo. Mom, if you're listening, I have a tattoo. And this tech was really interested in what I was getting and where I was getting it. And I went to the shop that he recommended. So after I got it, I Snapchatted him and I said, dude, just got my tattoo. It wasn't that bad because it didn't hurt that bad. And he sent me a message back and he said, oh, let me see. So I took a picture and I sent it to him and he never responded. And I was like, wow, I guess my tattoo's super stupid, whatever. Go to work the next day and find out that he didn't answer because he died. He was racing and his car hit a pole and just pretty much exploded. So needless to say, we were all very, very sad. And it was a really weird, rough couple of months. We were so used to him being there all the time and all of his stories. And I was used to when I would go over service to drop cars off, you know, always have him like make jokes and make fun of me for not being able to park. But there's no spots, dude. Just there's no system. They're just stopped there. I don't know what to do. So me and the guy at the desk next to me were sitting there one day and the showroom's quiet. There's no customers. We're just hanging out. The cars in the showroom have been in there for months at this point. And when a car is in the showroom, the battery is disconnected. That way, every time a customer goes to sit in the car, the alarm doesn't go off. And the keys are kept in the general manager's desk drawer. At this point, I don't know. Like at this point, this dealership, that's where those keys were. My GM's desk drawer. So we're sitting there. And the car in front of my desk and the desk in front of me starts. They're push to start cars, but the key needs to be inside the car and the brake has to be pressed down for it to start. And I'm not talking like battery. I'm talking like the engine turned over. It started. We were concerned because exhaust in a closed building. So my other sales guys were all like, hey, turn the car off. But no one has the keys to it. No customer has looked at that car. My manager is running around because he's not the GM. He's one of the other managers. And he's trying to find the keys. And he's yelling, who has the keys? Who has the keys? And while he's screaming, we're trying to get the doors open because we don't want the building to fill with exhaust. We do not want an exhaust-filled showroom. So we're all running around trying to open doors and windows and trying to get the big sliding doors in the front to open. And he's yelling, who has the keys? Who has the keys? And we're like, you have to have them. They have to be in the GM's desk. Like, where are they? He runs into the office and grabs the keys and turns the car off. And we all just kind of go back to our desk. And no one said anything about it, except for me, who was like, what was that? So I'm talking to the guy at the desk next to me, and I said, how could that have happened? He's like, I don't know. So I find an excuse to go to service. And I go to service, and I'm like, how did this happen? How could this have happened? Because I, as much as I love cars, I don't know everything about them. So I was like, there has to be an explanation as to mechanically how this happened. And they couldn't give me anything. They don't know that it must have been a joke. My manager must have, somebody had to be in the car, like a whole bunch of stuff. So I go back to the showroom. The battery's still disconnected. So we shouldn't have been able to do anything. So we all sit down. Probably about 40 minutes goes by. Everybody's kind of settled. And the horn beeps. Same car. That shouldn't be able to happen either. There's no battery. There's no power to anything. It is a hunk of metal right now in the showroom. It shouldn't be able to do anything, but it started up and then the horn beeped. The kicker is we tried to get it to start again and we couldn't. So I've told this story to other mechanics and techs, and no one can give me a definitive answer for what happened. So my challenge to you all is to find a way that that could have happened and email it to me, because I'm very genuinely interested. Because if we can't come up with a reason, my brain wants to think that that was our tech just stopping by. But I could be wrong. That could, it could be something that all of us are overlooking. I don't know any other person that would try to kill us and think it's funny, though. So there's that. Listen, it's been a weird episode. It's hard for me to tell these stories from when I was younger, because I have bigger ones, I have scarier ones, I have worse things that have happened to me and worse things that I've been involved in. But these little ones are what got me started. These little ones are what kept me interested and what kept me searching, and the reason that I'm looking for everything. These are the reasons that I had my nose in a book about all this for years and years and years. These stories are the reasons that I can name 5 different types of hauntings and 6 haunted dolls and their locations. And this is why. I mean, I would say that this is the basis for why I am a creep. It was my first experience with real, genuine fear that I couldn't explain. And it's why I look for all this. So I hope that this was a good talk for you guys. I hope that you guys send me some stories. And I hope that if you ever, ever need my help, that you come find me, because I'm here for you. I do not want you to be ashamed or afraid to come talk to me. Even if it's something that's simple, even if what you're experiencing turns out to not be a paranormal experience, even if what you're experiencing is like a weird pipe noise, that happens. And I would like you to know that it's a weird pipe noise and not a demon in your fridge. Just, you know, don't be afraid to come talk to me. And if you don't want to come talk to me, don't put your name in the email and come talk to me, or go to somebody else that you trust. But please don't stuff it down inside of you and keep it there and be afraid to go home. Home is where you're supposed to feel safe. That is your space. I literally had to take over my space again 2 days ago. So do not think that you're alone. I had to sage my whole house. I didn't sleep for 3 days. It's an ordeal. And again, if you guys want to hear about that, I'd be happy to tell you what's going on with that as well. But that is a whole other episode, and I believe that Angel would be required for that one too. So that is it for me tonight. I hope that you guys have enjoyed our time together. I will talk at you again in another 2 weeks, and we'll be back to, I was going to say not spooky season, but according to Victorian times, spooky season included Christmas too. So it's spooky season all the way until January 12th, according to the commercial Christmas calendar. Anyway, I hope you guys had a good time. As always, I am Martini Martinez. This has been Mischief Life. You can find us on most of the directories. If I'm missing on one, please let me know and I will get it up and running over there. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me via mischieflife@outlook.com. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate all of the love and support that you've brought me. Any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, please feel free to leave them for me. I appreciate all of the feedback as long as it's constructive. I love you guys. Sweet dreams.